Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to the L.A. Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And tonight we have George Dixon joining us in just a few minutes. And he's going to be talking about, you know, talk tonight about the some of the tragedies that go around the world and how they relate pretty much to these times. And try if we can to give some kind of a
prelude to that. excuse me.
Oh, sorry. Some kind of a understanding to maybe to what's happening.
Is he relating this to the Mayan calendar, Leo?
Maybe the Mayan calendar and other things. So,
okay.
Just trying to get on here. And
we couldn't quite get on the site yet. We had to call in, so bear with us a minute. We're getting on in just a second. It just takes a couple of seconds to get on. Well,
the computers are slow tonight. Very
must
slow.
Be a lot of people on the
DSL internet. Is slow. And we'll be right on. Switchboard here.
Sometimes that happens. It just takes a little bit long. You just got to be patient.
Yeah.
Right. Leo has to log on. We'll see. So, beautiful weather here tonight. It's one of the nicest days we've had.
Pretty hot, though.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's nice weather. I like
around
the heat,
80 or so.
Which is nice. There was no humidity in the air, so it was really just beautiful, beautiful weather.
Yeah.
And here we are. We're getting to our switchboard. Let's just take a minute. Let's see.
Oh, I don't want to do that.
No, you went to the wrong thing.
Okay, I'm ready.
My switchboard. Here we are.
Okay, hold on, folks. And we'll be bringing George up very soon.
Okay, and there he is.
All right.
Good evening.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine here. Jeez, I could do a crossword puzzle waiting for you guys to
tally
up there. I've been on the air listening to you guys at 8 o'clock.
What I did is I called in first because the computer was so slow. It just, for some reason, it just wasn't coming up. And we're up here now, so that's good.
We couldn't get to this. Everything was just so slow. You got on fast, huh?
Oh, yeah. I have no problems. I just dial up. modern technology. What can I tell you?
Oh, well, up and down. Leo was saying that you were going to relate some of the tragedies that are happening in the world right now to the Mayan calendar. Is that correct?
Yes. I think how we left off, though, was when we were at the book signing last week.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the Gulf and
right.
The problem down there with the oil.
What a horrible disaster, yes.
It is. But I think at this point we have to put some look at some alternatives here and what could be done about it. So, I think that's where we left off with, you know, some of the alternatives. I don't know if they've been exposed or, you know, what they are, but I thought we'd throw it up and just talk a bit about that.
Well, I thought you had a couple articles on the seismic or volcanic aspect of the spill.
That's correct. Yes.
Now
mm-hmm.
Related to Iceland and the Iceland volcano and so on.
Could you talk a little bit about that,
can you
George?
Elaborate
for
on that a little bit and see.
Well, I was just relaying some of the emails I get. You know, I get quite a bit of mail, and people know my interest and so forth, and they'll send me interesting stories. And that was just a story that came down the pike. But the possibilities of the reason why they can shut that Gulf War or that Gulf oil off is because there's volcanic activity in the inner Earth, which is causing that pressure, and there's no way that we could stop it.
Oh, okay.
And you know that was quite scary. You know, just to think about that. You know, if it's a possibility, and I'm more disgusted in them not telling the truth about how much oil is escaping, you know, into the water. And, you know, it's a real joke. It really is. But,
really?
You know,
well,
it's...
today, it's 500,000 gallons a day, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it's more than that, George?
Well, that's...
I think so. Oh, yes. Well, at this point, I don't think it matters other than it's over, let's say, 50 gallons. That oil slick it's causing havoc now with the world down there, you know, with the different states, Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida. And, you know, if that oil slick turns around and crosses or goes up the East Coast, we have some real problems because it's going to devastate not only the fishing industry, but also understand that those currents are the currents that warm Europe, and they go right to Europe.
About the Gulf.
So,
talking about the Gulf Stream.
That's correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. And it goes all around the world and, you know, affects the weather and all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's kind of an interesting thing. Leo had also read, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Leo, that you had read that one of the things that they could try to stop the oil from flowing is actually a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, they're talking about that. They were talking about it at the
Russia had this problem.
But the problem with that is they're afraid. I was reading today that they're frightened to death that there's a possibility of the entire crust collapsing. All right, the Earth crust
on the Earth floor on
the floor, right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
If they try that kind of thing, because. It could be devastating.
Oh, the water could go right into the...
Yeah, exactly. But it won't go, it could go into that, but what's the problem is that the actual, it could release even more oil, okay? Because it could actually collapse the Earth crust.
Mm-hmm.
And if it collapsed the sea floor, all right, then it'll be devastating. It'll be, you know, billions of gallons coming out of there. Right now, they're talking about 264 million gallons a day pouring out of there, 60,000 barrels, which is about 44 gallons a barrel, and it comes up to like 2,640,000 barrels a gallons a day coming out of there, and it's like absolutely the worst catastrophe ever, and they don't seem to have any way to shut it off.
Yeah.
Other than drill another a relief well or something, and they're talking about what they're siphoning off already is only like 15,000 gallons at the max. Okay. A day. It's ridiculous. You know?
It is, Leo, but it's an alternative, I think, to the situation right now, and that's what's going on now. You know, different options are coming into play in a way to stop this thing. Hold on for 1 second.
Sure. What do you
think? I don't know what other options there are to play.
Well, Leo, there's alternatives, and there's alternatives to everything. I'm just saying there is a way to stop that thing, but what we have to do is just find the way to stop it, and there are options that are going to be coming available to us. So I'm just saying using different options. No,
yes. In time, George.
What are they?
I think we need some extraterrestrial intelligence here, okay, to enter the scene.
Leo, I don't, you know, that would be nice because, well, you know, I want to go back for the emails that I received. There was also another email stating that there was the alien culture from in the inner Earth. They've come out basically and have positioned themselves in the Midwest, along with the supply of the UN UN supplies that were put to the side in a case of an emergency like this. And apparently these people were going to help with evacuating and cleaning up the shorelines there in the Gulf. So, like I said, this is just another rumor or another option
that
possibly could come into play.
Sounds a little wacko to me there, guy.
Well, yes, you're right, Leo. You're right, but But here again, who are you to say that this wacko thing might not work or might work?
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
have people coming from out of the underground civilizations that are coming out to help us, and the UN has set them up with supplies and stuff. That doesn't sound.
Well,
that doesn't seem like it.
Leo,
makes,
okay, you're right, Leo. You're right. But
they,
I'm just saying, do you have an under? You do have a plan?
Close to the sunlight, you know.
What's that?
I said, how can they come out from underground? They're there for a reason, because of the problem with the sunlight. You know, they can't be exposed.
Leo, that's irrelevant. We're not validating them, but we're validating the idea of a possibility of somebody intermingling in this and helping us in one way or another. There are alternatives.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about the in 1972 and the solar flare problem and all that and the extraterrestrial shield that was placed around the country, around the world. But you know, and okay, well, you know, it can or can't be proved. But this thing here sounds a little far fetched to me. But I, you know.
So what else were you thinking of, George? What else?
Okay.
But if they're in the Midwest, what the hell is that going to do for the Gulf Coast?
Training.
You know, Leo, you know, you're ready to shoot the messenger regardless of what the hell he has to say. This is your attitude.
No, I'm just saying, No,
it is. It is. What alternative, you know, if you can't understand it, then it doesn't exist.
Well, I can't understand it because why would they go to the Midwest when the problem is in the South Coast in the Southwest along
the
coast
on the Gulf Coast
and why would the UN have supplies there? Doesn't make any sense to
but
me.
But anyway, let's move on from that. What is another idea that you've heard?
Yeah.
Well, another option I can say is it's part of this related technology that we do have. And a couple of years ago, I talked about the possibility of adding a few more electrons to water.
Right.
And with this water, you're able to change molecular structures of other things and of oil as just one example. By taking some of this diluted water and putting it into, let's say, a beaker of old dirty motor oil, this water would revert that oil back to its normal state of clean oil, you know, without any gooker use in it. Or you can take this oil and revert it back to its original position, which was basically amino acids and water itself. Plant food, because understand, petroleum is a natural substance, as a byproduct. It's oil.
Mm-hmm.
So what this water does is that it actually reverts the molecular structure back to its original form. So you're taking dirty oil and reverting it back to not only clean oil, if you want to, but also reverting it back to its original state, which was water itself. Amino acids, fish foods.
I know that one of the Hopi things that are prophecies was that some great intellectual invention was going to come around and save the world. All right, I don't know what that is, but you know, something remarkable.
Maybe something like that.
But this thing that Kevin Costner has, you know. It looks like the Congress may act on that and authorize it for use in the Gulf.
He's trying to. It's clean. It cleans the oil out of the. Maybe
but,
that's
yeah,
the same
it's
kind
a,
of thing.
I don't know. Is it 200,000 gallons or 200,000 barrels a day or something that it's supposed to be able to process? But at this point, maybe they could make it even bigger, probably. But that's probably the only viable thing I've heard of yet. You know, that might be able to handle some of this. But
well,
the other thing,
maybe.
That, what bothers me most is there's international solutions, all right, that aren't even being considered And some of those are the Dutch, I believe the Dutch, or some one of those countries have developed a very, very effective way of skimming the oil.
Barriers.
Yeah, to create the barriers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, and they've used it successfully in many places. However, they're not using it there. Okay, they won't allow it to be used for some reason. BP won't let them bring it in, and the United States.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of weird crap going on, you know, with BP not allowing the international
community
to help. Right?
Well, there's a lot you could say about that because they're on the hot seat right now. But Leo, what I'm talking about. Is basically a process that was developed by a Turkish fellow. And this use of this material is patented. It's patented not only here in this country, but around the world. It's known in private circles.
Has it ever been used for oil cleanups?
Well, it hasn't been released. I think it was used in the Caspian Sea as an example of what it could do. And what they were able to do is clean Caspian Sea up completely. Apparently, it was heavily polluted. I don't know too much about the site itself. But over a period of, I think, a month or so, they were able to clean that up. But that was just an example of the versatility of this stuff. You could also pour this diluted water over, let's say, a polluted a lake, and within 3 months' time, it would sanitize not only the water itself, but the sediment in the ground, but also the banks around the water itself would revert back to its natural state. But, you know, this process has been adapted and tried. And at one time, there was a country in South America that what they wanted to do is use this to clean up not only their pollution problems but also their health problems themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it wasn't put into play. But they state that this process can clean up 80% of the pollution in the world, and also has other properties. Where you can have a certain dilution of this water itself, now with these additional electrons, and it instantaneously puts out water, or puts out fire.
Wow.
And this was noted by, I think, the Air Force because of its properties. I mean, they don't like fires. And instantaneous, it would put out a fire.
Well,
and
fire than it being used now.
Excuse me?
What is the resistance to using it, do you think?
Yeah, why are they using it now?
Well, I think putting it on the market, you know, putting it out in a capital market, I should say, just like BP would hate to have something like this happen.
Why?
Because so much money and manpower is put in toward their operation now. I mean, it's like the shuttle program is coming to an end now. But, you know, if we were to change our propulsion systems with some of the newest technologies that we have, you know, we would have to scrap a lot of the industry and a lot of people would be put out of work and the economy would take a buckle on that. So, you know, you have to keep pace with the ramifications of some of this new technology and implementing it.
Yeah, but this thing with the oil spill, I mean, nobody's winning by not having this stuff cleaned up. All right, Obama has all these science guys and all these guys who could, engineers and all these other dimwits that seem to don't know what the hell they're doing. All right, but if this stuff is available and they know about it and it's been used and the Air Force knows about it, then why in the hell is it being used on this huge oil spill?
Well, who's going to have control of this? And I think that's what the skirmish is right now. Who's the boss there and who's not the boss?
Well, my question is this, George. Right now, if we if the scenario is that there is that technology to clean it up and it's not being used, who is getting rich by not cleaning it up? And that's where you'll have your answer. You follow the money trail.
Who's benefiting
from it? Who's benefiting from not cleaning it
up? Definitely not the United States. I don't know how. BP, maybe. I can't understand how they're benefiting from it. But, I mean, if you have this technology already available, then
I would think
that
it would
absolutely
be,
stupid not to.
I would think it would.
Yeah, you got to be completely freaking brain dead not to have that, you know.
Or maybe this is the ending of an era of this whole petroleum industry, and this is just the grand finale that this is showing our civilization, because really we've progressed way beyond this petroleum dinosaur age, sooner or later we had to back out of it, but. This is an ugly backing out, that's for sure. This may be the grand finale.
Well, you could be right.
Yeah.
Well, I hope I am right, because we do have to replace it, that's for sure. But I think we can use some intervention here and different ways of getting over this hump, because it's a hell of a hump that we have in front of us right now. And it's, you know, by no means is it over. We're going to be... feeling the ramifications of this for a few years now,
we have to
find alternatives, other alternatives. And Leo, if you don't like my alternative, that's okay too. I'm just saying the Mayans tell us that we have the options available to us, and we don't have to stay within the confines of linear logic to find our remedy. All we have to do is use our imagination, and within our imagination. It will change itself.
Well, it was upwards of that it could be as many as 50 years before this cleans up. All right, at the rate it's going, and it could take another 2 months before they get the relief well, and they don't know what the hell to do, and they're doing absolutely ridiculously nothing to stop it. They can't do anymore.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Now would be a good time for some kind of a savior come down and save us, huh? How about the second coming?
Oh, we got to save ourselves, George.
Well, save ourselves and also save our brothers, too, because they're the ones that's going to be picking up after us, or we may be picking up after them.
Mm.
But we're all in this together, you know, maybe now is a time where we're going to have to do something, because those people in the South are being affected very heavily. Their whole lifestyle, their whole world is being turned upside down with no ending in sight, that's for sure. And yet, take a look at the ramifications that could come out of this and continue if that thing gets on the other side of Florida and goes up the East Coast. Because the Chesapeake Bay area, it would devastate the East Coast. And I don't think that the good God in heaven would do this to us right now without giving us some kind of a some kind of an option or some kind of a break or some kind of a cut, you know,
well,
a break.
Don't blame God for this. This was a human act.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not blaming God. I'd say God has a sense of humor sometimes, but he never gives us a more than we can't chew with. So it's a matter of just finding the right option on this to overcome it, and we will. I'm optimistic.
Like sometimes we work too hard to find the options to fix something. Like what's really funny about nature is that, you know, the poison ivy plant grows, and near that is another plant that will cure and help you with the rash that grows near it. You wonder if the remedy to this problem is less complex than what we make it.
I think it is. And I think you're hitting the nail right on the head.
And we're overlooking what's really right in front of us, because
that's right.
That's what we seem to do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why we do that, because
so far the remedies that they've been trying have been absolutely ridiculous.
Well, throwing junk down the well.
Even a moron. These guys are morons. I mean, even a fifth grader would know better than that. A first grader. Hey, put junk down the hole. Yeah. I mean, these are geniuses, genius engineers here, right?
I mean,
good God. The fate of our energy reliance in the world, the world energy is dependent on absolute, complete morons.
Well,
right?
that's one of the things that I would like to see changed right away.
Also,
finish here. One of the things that I'd like to see changed, George, is I feel that BP got us into the problem that we're in, making very poor decisions because they have a poor staff.
Or they have
criminals working there. So I don't think they're responsible enough to head the cleanup. That's my feeling.
I agree 100%.
It should be taken out of their hands and put into the hands of others who can be trusted and who have an investment in the Gulf. The people down there are invested in it, and it should be people that are from this country. And I think BP has no business in the cleanup because they created the problem by their poor chain of decision-making. So why would we expect anything different in a cleanup?
And 60 days later, they haven't done anything.
They haven't done anything. It's like continuing the same thing and expecting a different result. You know that I've forgotten. I've forgotten how that saying goes, but
insanity,
it's the definition of insanity.
Yeah.
And that's exactly where we are with this company. Why are we relying on a band of criminals who historically that company has been a criminal company? It's changed its name and metamorphosized into something else. And this is what they're going to do again.
And they did it over each time. They did it because of bad PR, because some
and poor decision making and criminality
that they've been involved in. You know, they were involved with the overthrow of the Iranian government back in 1953 or so, when the Shah of Iran took over there and started persecuting everybody.
And then it was
and
the Iraq-Iran oil company.
Then the Asian oil company.
Yeah.
And they frigged up everything over there and caused the oil leaks and deaths and destruction there. And then they wound up going into the Middle East. And they were involved with Iraq. And then
let's come back to basics here, because you're blowing this way out of proportion. This happened off our shores. This is our land, our property. What right does a foreign company in a foreign country have in our waters and tell us what to do and arrest people for taking pictures of them doing their bad things? This is our land. And, you know, the Britons now are upset because we're pointing the finger at them. Damn right we're pointing the finger at you. You created a mess. You can't clean it up. You're not cleaning it up. We're taking over, period.
That's right.
So that's what I think should happen.
I think we should see.
Well, no, that's not happening, and they're pussyfooting around here and playing games because, you know, it's all the powers, the connections and the powers and so forth. Even Obama, you know, with his political roots, he's got a problem because he has to answer.
George, Halliburton is the same kind of company, a company that historically has stolen money from the government, been involved in all kinds of overcharges, and it still was hired all the time. You know why?
Yeah.
You know why they were hired all the time? Because people would say, oh, they're the only company that's big enough to handle the problem.
Yeah, well.
That's the answer, given all the time. Yet they did a lousy job. They stole from the government. They were given enormous bonuses for jobs poorly done and not done at all. And then people wonder why things aren't done well. There's no incentive to do anything well anymore or do a job.
There's only incentive to do lousy.
Amount of money for doing a lousy job. Hence, bailouts, car company bailouts. The only person that doesn't get bailed out is the ordinary middle-class citizen. If you had an oil spill on your property, George, let me tell you, the town where you live would be down your throat.
In a heartbeat, yes.
Yeah, your property would be sealed off, your assets would be frozen,
that's
and everything
right.
else.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's
well, if nothing else, this raises a lot of questions from a not only a capitalistic point of view, but also from a legal point of view. And, you know,
is who's in charge? That's the first question. My second question is follow the money trail and you'll get
uh-huh.
get your answer.
Right. Yeah.
So
well, the money trail may be drying up very soon. I think with the economy the way it is, you know, I've been watching gold and silver, and you know, it's on the rise again. You know, old Billy Boy was talking about the last stand and then the fall, and the last stand was taken last fall, I guess. So you know,
Billy
they
Boy.
Are predicting.
Who's
they
Billy?
Are predicting. Bill Marshall.
Oh.
From an astrological point of view.
Yeah, well,
what was
his prediction?
Well, I think when Jupiter went into Aries, I think, is when after the that was the last of I think the profiteers on Wall Street.
He said that 2009 would be a financial collapse, and it was. He predicted 2009 to be a financial collapse of the United States economy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And and it was. Okay, virtually was. Right now we're just floating on debt, you know. But you know, it's
well, that's not over with.
Oh,
that's
no,
not over with.
Especially with the European mess right now. I got upset with some people on Facebook this morning. You know, some English people were, some foreigners were. I got some foreign friends there on Facebook, and they were.
What is the European problem, Leo? What are you referring to?
Complaining, they were saying that BP paid enough and that there shouldn't be. You know, that was wrong. Blah 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 blah. And I went after them in a big way and said that the, you know, BP is a criminal corporation. Okay. It's changed its name 3 times in the last 50 years.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Not only that. All right. It's caused the greatest environmental catastrophe in history. All right, off our shores. All right, and we have every right to call the British, you know, sons of bitches and keep them the hell off. All right, but I didn't say that. But what I said is that, you know, a congressman in the hearing yesterday, all right, told Haywood, he says, you should be arrested and handcuffed and walked out of here and sent to prison.
Well,
right,
in China, they cut their head off.
But let me finish what I said to these people. I said, you know, not only that, but you know, the English have no right to complain. All right, since the United States taxpayer, the Obama, the Federal Reserve, and the U.S. taxpayer just bailed out Europe. Like $2 trillion, those European banks, all right? You know, the Royal Bank of
mm-hmm.
Scotland, the Deutsche Bank,
right.
And Barclays got upwards of $2 trillion to bail their scrawny asses out, all right? Of a financial collapse.
That's
right?
Why they're all taking vacations
and
don't work.
And they all got, you know, they got cleared up. Our banks got $750 billion, all right? The taxpayer got screwed of over $3 trillion in that bailout, okay?
Yeah.
And nobody helped the middle class. Nobody helped anybody in the United States. All the wealthy people got it, and foreign bankers got it. Well, you know what the reply was to that?
Well, what's that, Leo?
Guy said, you're right, arrest the bastards, you know what I mean? that was one of the replies, but, you know... Say the arrogance of these English people, of the British people, just freaking floors me. All right, that they think that I mean, I thought the Americans could be arrogant, but the British have no limit to their idiots.
That's why they've imposed
idiots.
Their way of life all over the world, whether people wanted it or not.
Right,
yeah.
That's arrogance. They've had hundreds of years of doing that.
But, you know, and then I told them also, you know, they were defending Hayward. And I told them that, you know, the British press pulled up that 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks before the April 20th blowout, okay, in the Gulf, Hayward liquidated one-third of his BP stock, all right?
Paid off his mortgage
on his mansion and all of his private debt, all right? And 2 weeks later, that thing blew. And the stock, the BP stock, went into the toilet, all right? Now, call it conspiracy-minded or not, but it just seems funny that this guy would liquidate a third of his BP stock 2 weeks before the incident, all right? And wondering and also having authorized this nightmare, all right, to continue. Now, in the hearing yesterday, he pleaded the fifth on everything and said he didn't know anything,
poor memory.
All right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
If you believe what he said, I mean, this guy was the mailboy of BP. You know what I mean?
This is American theater. That's all. That's all that was. Yeah,
there you go.
It was just theater.
Well, it may be American theater, but it came up with showing characters of not only the assholes that we have elected in Congress, but also, you know, the kind of criminal element that we're dealing with the BP. Right.
And so, most other corporations.
But I think it shows publicly what we're up against. And, you know, and it's a
the
major
The problem is
major
that BP
nightmare.
Is bigger than we are. That's why they're bossing us around.
They're not bigger than we are. BP is not. But the thing is BP is an international.
They own a lot of those people sitting in Washington.
And they own a lot of those people on the Gulf Coast as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They got hundreds of offshore drilling sites there. All right? And also up in Alaska and around the world.
Where there's a leak, too.
Where there's leaks, exactly. So it's like, you know, they're ruthless, and their tactics are absolutely criminal. Right now they have over 700...
Well, you know what, Leo?
They have 750 outstanding safety violations, okay, right now on their U.S. oil rigs, okay, that haven't been corrected yet, all right? That's why Obama stopped all BP and all oil production, all right, in the Gulf and everywhere, all right, because all offshore drilling, because of that problem that, you know, all of these oversights and all of these things were a mess. And our own agency, the Mineral Management Agency, was a total and complete farce, and
not doing their job.
They were all sold out to the big oil companies, you know. So you know, and that's getting cleaned out. But it was just abomination what happened. And of course, you can look at it based on the Bush administration, because the 10 years of their policy, or 8 years of their insane policies, inflation of the industry. So it's like
that was then, and now is now. So you know, it's a matter of taking a look at what we have right now and going forward, regardless of what happened then. You know, there was a purpose for everything, and right now this is what we have on our plate. We have to deal with. But I think there's an easier way to handle this. Instead of getting all bent out of shape, and I think it's a matter of just sitting back, just letting go, and imagine a remedy for this, and it will come. Period. It's as easy as that. See,
well,
there's two ways to get to it to find an answer.
Up with it.
Yeah, because nobody else seems to be able to.
Well, nobody else maybe is has an open mind or an open heart to feel it instead of think it, because in thinking things through, it's a pain in the ass because of all the variables that you know, we put into play. There's another way of just experiencing it by feeling it, and by feeling it, you cut the corners and you go right to the gold instead of having to climb a friggin' ladder. And that basically is part of understanding that we are sentinel beings having a human experience. And it's through our feelings, our emotions, that we're connected with spirit, not through our head.
Well, George, have you come up with the answer yet?
Have I come up with the answer? Yeah. Yeah. Just what we need is about 1,000 people to just imagine it shut off in their head.
Well, I think a lot of people are doing that. It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll put some kind of a moratorium together, you know, for maybe June 24th of this year at 12 o'clock, everybody will think, shut it off, and maybe it will be shut off. But you got to believe it. And I think maybe it will take us to do that. But I think it's as easy as that. But you know, this way maybe burn out. There's other means. Yeah, look at the sky is a limit on options. You know,
the earth is full of so many healing things, in so many solutions that we just don't see. I know it's there. It's just
You know, you're right. We can't see them, but we know the technology. You know, Lila, I was thinking today of what we know about nanotechnology.
Right.
Who's to say that people who have asbestos poisoning, what do they call it? Asbestos? Asbestosis?
Yeah, or they develop mesothelioma.
That's right, yeah. Now imagine this. If we can build molecular machines to go in and change DNA,
right,
why can't we have these go in there and, let's say, revert these molecules to something that is beneficial? Let's say, change it into, let's say, carbon
You know, George, that makes a lot of sense to me.
And, you know, who's to say that, you know, we can't do this? Take this technology that we have. You know, we were talking a couple weeks ago about engineering.
George, just go
yes.
back to that thought for a minute.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, with all that we can do, that sounds like something that would be a possibility. But I think, and I could be wrong, that the mission of this company is recovery of that oil. They would not want to take a chance and damage the biggest well that they have. They want that oil to sell it. And I think that's what the block is to fixing this problem.
And I also think that one of the reasons they're not allowing,
I think you're right.
One of the reasons they're not allowing tankers into that area to try to siphon off the oil from the top, okay, which they've been able to do and they know they can do it successfully, all right, is because BP wants all that oil, okay,
that's right,
or doesn't want anybody else to benefit or to gain.
I can't believe that.
Oh,
I mean, that's something out of a trial's notebook. No, I don't believe that.
Oh, I do,
George.
I would like to see that company not in charge of the cleanup. I think if they weren't in charge of it, I think we'd have a better chance of solving this problem.
Absolutely.
Because we'd only be interested in the solution and cleaning up the environment, not in recovering that oil. We wouldn't care about that. We would want the environment to be safe and clean. There are two agendas for BP. We would only have one agenda.
Yeah, BP wants to recover that oil.
They want
right?
their money.
For themselves. And, you know, they're doing whatever they can do. They've got three or four other tankers and wells and all this kind of crap that they're trying to
They don't want to lose the biggest oil find in history.
Yeah, and they won't let. And the United States doesn't want to let more people in, and BP doesn't want to let other tankers in that have the ability to siphon that oil out of the right off the surface and from the underwater. And, they won't do it.
I want to raise a question here.
Yeah.
What makes you think the people now that works for BP, the Americans, that is, you know, the people on the oil platforms now,
right.
What makes you think that their obedience to BP is going to stay the same?
Because
of the paycheck.
Because they need the money.
Because of the paycheck, George. They don't, you know. All these people, these thousands of people that are interviewing them. They need the paycheck. They're not even allowed to say anything.
Whistleblowers fired.
All right.
And
you're right, Leo. You're
guys, scraping up the oil off the beach is not allowed to say anything, okay, to the press.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
you know, how long do you think the American people are going to put up with that bullshit?
I'll tell you how long. Until forever. Because
no,
people,
I don't think so, Leo. I don't think so.
You and I, but those people down there, George, they'll put up with it forever. They don't give a damn. Just pay the check. Give me the check.
No, you're wrong. You are wrong, Leo.
No, I'm
you are
not.
Wrong.
See, George, I guarantee you $100 right now, here and there. Here, down. That within a year from now, those idiots will still be out there breathing benzene, working for pennies, you know, and waiting to get paid from BP because they're behind on their payments, blah, blah, blah.
Sure, I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. But, you know, they're not gonna do it because they want to, Leo. They have to do it because they have to survive.
So, yeah, okay, so what does that tell you? That's what I'm saying. They have to survive. So if they have to survive,
it's
they're going to keep
like,
their mouth shut and they're not going to do anything.
It's like I owe my to the company store.
Yeah.
You see me coming, better step aside. A lot of men and a lot of men died to load 16 tons. And what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you hear me? Because I can't come. I owe my...
I owe myself to the company store. I know.
And that's exactly what it is. I'm not blaming those people at all because they're desperate, and I would be desperate
and scared and frightened. I would too, but at the same time.
I'm not brave, Leo. I'm not brave.
You go out there, and these people are actually getting sick. Right?
Oh, those poor, I feel
these
terrible.
These people are going out to work there in 100-degree weather, 120-degree weather.
Terrible.
They're using respirators. They're getting sick. They're in these suits.
And they don't use respirators and they're getting sick.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like ridiculous. And they're afraid to talk. They're afraid to talk to anybody.
I'm scared.
Yeah. So it's like, you know.
They're trapped.
They're trapped, but you see, George, this what you've been talking about is imagination or they get away, this thing. I mean, yes, that's what they should do. And that's the noble thing, okay, to do. But mankind.
The noble thing? Wait a minute. What do you mean a noble thing, Leo? Where is it noble?
No, would say would to detest BP, say no to BP. You know,
I won't take your money.
I won't take your lousy goddamn money. Get the hell off my got out of my country, and just refuse to work with them. All right, under those conditions, you know they demand. You know, just go out there and demand safety. Demand the money be paid. Demand
they need
that
to
they
be thrown out.
Yeah. I mean,
well, I think that's how the Southern people are going to how they're reacting to VP now. So that's why I'm saying, where's the loyalty that was lost with VP? You don't have it from the Southerners, that's for sure.
Yeah, but you know what, George? I guarantee you, from all the interviews that I've been hearing on television the last month or so. All right, those people down there, they're mad. They're this, they're that. But they're also desperate, and they're waiting for handouts from BP, all right? And
what else can you do?
And they're not out there. You don't see them out there protesting. You don't see them out there fighting. All you see them doing is standing there with their hands out waiting, you know, for BP to pay up, all right? Which, you know.
You need an organizer down there is what you need.
And they won't let them in. And the news, of course, won't cover any kind of.
There could be things going on. We don't know about it.
Yeah.
Because Leo's right. The news is all bought up by big business.
Yeah, sure. And I noticed the $50 million that BP put out recently just for their new ad campaign, all right, suddenly the Gulf oil spill isn't such a bad thing, okay, you know, in some of these news organizations, especially like Fox News or whatever, you know.
They're all sold out.
Yeah. I mean, and then all of a sudden you see a BP ad. We're really sorry for what we've done, but we love America and we love we have a commitment to
the little people,
to renewable energy
and all
that.
We have a commitment to the small people.
To the little people, yeah. So it's
like we were some kind of.
You notice the mainstream media is, you know, some of the networks are still strong. Most of them are not. Okay, not really. Okay, they're just reporting the, you know, the middle things. The only ones that seem to be strong and coming out against it might be MSNBC, but that's more or less.
Full stop.
You know, that's kind of stopping. So, you know, I think what we're dealing with now is going to go away in the media. Just like, you know what went away awful fast was the Haiti earthquake.
How about
right?
the other one?
Yeah, the Chile earthquake you never even heard about.
Leo, that is over with.
Getting more
right.
That murdering bastard down
John
in Peru is getting more press time in the United States than anything else. It's getting as much press time as the Gulf crisis, all right? And, I mean, you're not hearing anything about any international news anywhere, not even Iraq, Afghanistan, nothing, okay?
The system
is totally 100% censored. It's like, it's worse than Russia.
Well, then what you got to do is you got to get on the Internet and find it for yourself. Because it's out there, you just got to click into it.
What
you're saying is right. It's all manipulated, no doubt.
It's terrible, man. It's absolutely terrible in this country. We've been fighting it for. Lila and I have been fighting it.
Yeah,
that's why we've been putting this stuff out.
It's very difficult for people here because, you know, if you work 8 hours or more a day, husband and wife, and you're trying to raise a couple of kids, you try to do the right thing by getting them involved in sports, so you do that. And then you get dinner, and you're damn tired by the time 10 o'clock comes along, and you're lucky if you can fall asleep and get up and get on the same rat race again starting at 5 o'clock.
You're right, yeah.
Very tough for people, very, very tough. I don't envy bringing up kids today and a family and trying to stay.
But at the same time, as responsible, reasonably well-informed American citizens, you're not getting well informed by the news media.
No.
Not at all. And, you know, and that's why we have so many loyal listeners, not only to this show, but also to our FM show.
Especially those people that are so proud that they listen to NPR.
Yeah.
They're the biggest dummies ever.
I mean,
and they don't even realize it.
But National Petroleum Radio, they are funded by ExxonMobil, BP, Chevron, you know what I mean? They put all that money into NPR and PBS.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's not forget Democracy Now.
Yeah, boy.
Democracy Now. They're a sellout group too. They've been sold out forever, and they're
Zionists.
Yeah. You're not going to get any straight shit from them. All right. I learned that probably 5-6 years ago after. After we saw what happened with them, they were I remember in 2004, right before 2004. Well, actually, I gotta say, right after 9/11. All right, these bastards they shut their faces, and on top of that, they started to restrict everything. And then I used to watch Democracy Now, listen to it as well, but then they shifted. I mean, you gotta remember. Amy Goldman is Jewish, and her entire thing,
Goodman,
right, is Jewish, and so is the entire Democracy Now! Staff, right? So it's like, you know, you're dealing there with a Zionist entity, all right? It's a propaganda Zionist entity, and, you know, you're not going to get that, and if you look at their reports, they're not really reporting on anything from Gaza, all right, and the Palestinian issue. They're turning their shit
away
over
from
to
that.
Yeah, they're talking about the Gulf oil, they're talking about this pollution or that or something.
Well, she did a real big piece on Haiti and was instrumental in
2004 when Aristide was
being ousted by the United States, Canada, and
France. All right, that. What happened? You had this coup, all right? And he was Aristide was a
democratically
elected. He was well loved and he was a strong leader, but he was against
corporation
and the foreign, foreign intervention, all right, in his country. And what happened was, is they ousted him, put in a military dictatorship,
and
sold out to the World Banks, all right. And then what happened is, of course, Haiti went into the shitter, all right. And then you had this huge earthquake, all right. And you know, for maybe a month, at the most, you had all the attention was focused on Haiti, and then all of a sudden, zero, there's 3 million people over there that don't have any housing, okay, that are still living in tents, all right? And you've heard absolutely nothing at all about Haiti anywhere in the news media. I'm even looking on the internet for stuff, and you don't see any updates or any aid release or anything else going over there. Now, what the hell is that all about? Why did they suddenly close off the communication between Haiti and the United States? There's no longer any talk about the UN and Haiti. No talk about this, no talk about that.
Well,
so it's like,
some multinational
and as far as the Chile, yeah. And Chile just had an earthquake last month. Nobody, you know, there was one day on the news, and that was it. Nobody's heard about that, and there were hundreds of thousands of people that died there.
And then China had something.
China did, yeah, but the Haiti one, nobody's heard any more about, okay? And the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, okay, the war now escalating in Pakistan, none of these. And the war, you know, Israel just had two nuclear submarines, okay, in the Persian Gulf with warheads off the coast of Iran, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is heating up now. Syria was on the news the other day, all right, saying that they will never have peace with Israel.
Israel.
Because Israel is an enemy state. It's a
criminal.
It's a criminal and enemy state.
It violates all UN sanctions.
And human rights. So it's like, you know, Syria, the head of Syria said that, president of Syria. So it's like you're looking at this incredible, incredible heating up, all right, everywhere around the globe, problems around the globe, all being censored by the U.S. media, all being censored by the European media, basically, too, British media, so on, all right.
They might get a little more than we do.
They don't get much at all. We watch it over here.
The BBC.
We watch it.
American BBC.
Well, it's BBC. It's British BBC, you know.
That's been a joke lately. I've been watching BBC for years, and you know, it's all propaganda bullshit.
They got lightweight. That's terrible. And so, all the mainstream, everywhere is.
All we have is government cheerleaders.
Yeah.
And news nags. That's what I call them.
There you go.
Nags.
That's about it. And it's just not getting any better, George. But the only way that I can at all rationalize what's going on without getting incredibly angry, all right, is by just saying this is an end time. These are the end times. This is what has been prophesized. These are what we are dealing with. And we have to, maybe we are, people like ourselves, are the last voices of freedom, all right? We're the last free speech, all right?
Yes, but we have the ability to turn it around. We do.
We do, but what ability do we have other than just, you know,
Our voice.
Well, we got to find it because we're running out of time, and I think we will. But we're running out of time, so we got to find it quick.
Oh, you're right about that.
I just think this is part of the scenario, and I don't think we're going to see any major miracle here because I think this is the end. And,
well, yes, Leo, but this end is going to be ending. In October of this year.
No.
And then we go to the seventh day, my friend.
No, it's the end.
It's over with.
Or next year.
What's that?
2012.
Yeah, I thought it was October
28th. No. No, we're in the sixth night now, right?
Right.
Right. In October, we're going to the seventh day.
So October 28th, 2011 is when it is supposed to be that polar,
that's a year from now.
0 point merge or whatever.
That's right. And then we really experience time speeding up.
Right. Until December 12th.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think right now it's all crumbling and it's crumbling really quick. And it's going to be crumbling. And it's going to be crumbling until October. But in the meanwhile, you know, there's some additional things I wasn't looking for, including this oil in the Gulf. This is something extra, but hopefully we'll be able to wrap this up in October, by October. And it may get a little uglier between now and then, and maybe a bank holiday in July. This basically is some of the predictions that were coming down.
We've got about 12 seconds now before we're off the air, but I wanted to thank you, George, for joining us tonight. And
it's always my pleasure.
Okay, I think we've got Anthony is on the line here. I think that's Anthony's number.
Cool. See who that is.
Let's see here.
Welcome.
Hey, Anthony, is that you? Hello?
Yeah. Hey, George.
Hey.
Hi, Anthony.
Hey,
well, hello, Lila. How are you doing, Mr. Steele?
Nice to hear your voice. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Good.
I miss you all so much. I've been listening in, and just, you know, the Fridays are about getting the body, you know, in shape and fit.
There you go.
Yeah, we haven't heard from you for a long time here, Anthony. How you been overall?
I've been great. If you'd stay tuned in, Leo, you would know.
Oh, okay. Tuned in.
So, we've been talking about the golf problem, and you're down there in Florida. There must be lots of...
I'm in Pensacola, Florida, right where it's... Yeah. That's where exactly
Anthony, what alternatives do you think we have on this, my friend? What can we do to turn this around?
Well, there's nothing external. This duality consciousness has a grip on everyone's consciousness, and it's nothing outside of us. It's all in us, and that the solution is everything is within. So when this has to manifest, so everyone can really get it.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe that's it. We gotta get oiled. We gotta go into an oil slick in order to understand what it is, I guess. What we're doing to ourselves.
It's really not that difficult when you boil it down to the fact that there's nothing outside of ourselves.
I just don't want to see anybody become like those poor pelicans you're seeing there, and and animals.
Oh, those poor birds,
you know, just
fish.
Just inundated and covered with
shocking.
Oil, and having absolutely no other, nothing.
Can help them.
Nothing can help them but die, you know, and it's like, you know.
It'd be one thing if we just did it to ourselves. We haven't. There are other creatures on this planet
that didn't
choose this. And
there's nothing, everything's one. There's nothing separate from anything. It's all one collective whole. And so it's just, there's no good and bad. There's no up or down. There's no left or right. Things just are.
Are you telling me BP is an angelic force from God that is about to deliver the world by shitting all over it? I don't know, there, Anthony.
Now you're misinterpreting me, Leo. No, I'm not saying it's an angelic force. It's a force that's obviously necessary for the world to wake up to the fact that there's nothing, that we have to treat the world as if it is us, because it is.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
So it's a good force, then?
No, sometimes...
It's a necessary force to awaken the collective consciousness, because it's so much slower than the individuated consciousness.
Anthony, Leo,
you can change your mind, and you can choose much quicker than it takes a whole town to choose.
Now, do you honestly believe that the Gulf Coast is going to change, even after they clean this up? They are so dependent on. They've got 4,000 rigs out there. All right, all of those Gulf Coast states dependent on oil economy. All right, so I don't think this is going to change. Anything, all right? Maybe they'll get stronger regulations, maybe, but it's not. I don't really think it's going to change the attitude, about the oil economy. Because
did 9/11 change the way our America looked at the world?
I don't think so. All right. I still believe 9/11 was an inside job. It was a false flag operation. and all the evidence, there's thousands and thousands.
So collectively, socially, Leo, we're still the same pre and post 9/11 is what you're telling me.
Well, pre 9/11 and post 9/11.
We're now in two wars.
Yeah, we're now in two wars caused by an imbecilic president and an imbecilic American,
Congress.
Congress and an imbecilic American people. Okay, to blind, deaf, and dumb. All right, I mean that's what we've had here for the last 8 or 10 years.
And we can hardly
and
wait to get
more.
To another one.
Now the last 30 years under conservative government and under Reagan, under Bush, under Clinton,
under people who abuse the planet and the environment.
I mean, all you've had are these New World Order globalist creeps, okay? And it has devastated our economy, devastated the global economy, and now it's devastating the our natural resources, okay, and our oceans and everything else. And it's all because of these policies and these criminals that we have had elected. All right, and whether they're a guiding force, Anthony, I don't know. But to me, these guys are alien demons from some horrible other universe that has invaded us, destroyed this guy. The right?
Oh, I love them.
You
gotta love them. You gotta love them.
I hope one day to be able to have that consciousness that you have, Anthony, the world is all good. And I once believed that mankind was.
I didn't say the world is all good. I said there is no good or bad.
There's no good or bad, yeah.
Things just are.
But to give it color, it's nice to add some flavoring to it. Good and bad is good.
I thought, George.
So can we have...
There you go.
One last question.
Folks,
do you have any moral, as morality or values or virtues?
Have a place.
Are they anything? Do we just accept ourselves as basically animals who have no morals? And since there's no good or bad, since there's no right or wrong, then what are we? Just existing in some shell, what are we, Anthony?
Anthony,
we're love. We are love. We are love. We are love. That's all we are. The Beatles had it right. And anything that deviates and is out of alignment with that, whether you perceive it to be good or bad, eventually you will realign yourself towards that centeredness, towards that frequency, because that's all we are is energy.
I'm hoping.
That's all we are. That's all we are, is energy.
Leo,
right
about that.
We are sentinel beings having a human experience. We say this all the time. Repeat it.
I hope I'm resonating properly.
Yes, you are. Lila, you resonate so well. I love you.
Oh, thank you, Anthony, and I love you too.
You're the grounding force. You're that maternal energy that's just... delicious.
There you go. She grinds. She grounds us right out, Anthony.
Yeah.
And that's what we need.
Well, I think the answers are right there in front of us. We just don't see it. That's all.
Yeah.
But I say why not? And you say think and dream again. So I dream again, and I'll think up new ways. And that's what this whole thing is about.
Well.
But I'll find it. I'll dream a solution. That's what I'll do. That's the least of my worries at this point.
It gives you some work to do while you're resting.
There you go.
Leo. Leo.
Yes, Anthony. What's
we,
up?
Collectively, I retired years ago. I'm not no sir necessary. Collectively, this oil spill, 9/11, these wars, all these things, all they do is they accelerate the collective consciousness to catch up with people like yourself, people like Lila, people all over the world who genuinely care and genuinely love, but the collective does not. So when these quote-unquote bad things happen, people wake up and accelerate the collective to really get centered on this and to really start to resonate that higher frequency of love. Even if it seems as if it's anger, but there, it's like the civil rights movement. People got angry because of the injustice, but it did. That anger did create value. And this is what it's all about, creating value based on that frequency of love, compassion, you know, those higher states.
Well, I think we have to go through this period of severe
stress.
Anger.
And stress.
And stress in order to...
come out better on the other side.
In order to...
Yes. Yes. Unfortunately,
it
does take, it takes a great, great, huge thing, effort, evil, whatever you think. Hey, think about it. Keep it simple, Leo. And if you want to lose 50 pounds, you've got to do something huge. If you want to really get into great athletic conditioning, you've got to do something great to get there. Well, the world collectively has to go through something tremendously great in order to accelerate their consciousness and to vibrate at that higher level that is right or wrong, whatever you want to call it, but it is and it has to be centered on compassion and love. Otherwise, well, it is what it is. It's going to happen. You can't stop it. You can't stop it because you're not doing anything. You know, it's I'm driving in a car right now. And, you know, this car is not really doing anything. It's just being a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the roses, that tree I'm looking at, that tree's not doing anything. The tree is being a tree. Leo, you're a human being. And this world is full of humans being. But they forgot that.
And we're just being. Is that right?
Well, they're humans trying to do something that's screwing things up, obviously. And it's getting this, the oil spill is helping them to be in a state of compassion and love for our planet, which they have to be in anyway,
right,
in order for us to survive collectively.
Mm.
But the collective is so dang slow and, excuse my word, stupid, it takes a huge event to wake the world up.
Well, that's true.
Because
that's
individually, we know these things in our heart, but our individual hearts, they can move quickly into that state and that frequency of love and joy and peace and compassion. But the collective can't. So that's what it's all about. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think you have a very valid point there, and I agree with you. Sometimes it takes a catastrophic event to charge people up to go in the right direction. Unfortunately, that's what it takes.
It's because of the collective. It's because of the nature of the collective. It's not our fault individually.
Thanks, Anthony.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Well,
you know, I think that's a good point to think about, and it's a great place to end, to think more about that privately. I think that's a...
Yeah, maybe. Well, anyway, I'm glad to hear from you, Anthony. It's a pleasure to have you on tonight.
Always has useful things.
And of course, George, always, as always. But, yeah, we argue a lot. I don't know, I just get incredibly impatient and incredibly
frustrated
with seeing the kind of reactions we're seeing from a company like DP or a company or an administration or whatever. And
Leo, it's because you've disconnected from the reality of the individual and the collective.
Mm.
That's all.
Yeah.
It's not your fault.
Well, I got to reconnect, or I got to become inebriated and not think about it at all.
It's all good.
I
really care about
that.
It's all good.
I'm sorry.
So,
I don't know what, I mean, I'm telling you, I was rushing. My heart was pounding trying to get to call in because I miss you all so much. But I listen.
Yeah.
I listen.
Yeah, you called.
Oh, that's great.
You called at the right time. You gave me a great gift.
I was
thinking very much about what you're saying.
So thank
and
you.
And I really appreciate that, Anthony. And
oh, you're so welcome.
I really
it's not me. It's just from all these wonderful guests that I have. You know, they really have opened up my heart to really reveal my, you know, whatever it is that I need to reveal for humanity that we've all been doing together collectively.
There you go.
You know, it's us. You know, it's from the beginning. We said it. You know, we are that fourth dimension. We are.
And Anthony,
we
you
are.
Know, if you take it to the blog, radio, and so forth, a lot of different programs have come and gone. You know, but you have been on the mic. We have been on the mic, and you know there are a few good programs out there that are talking talking the piece, and it's great. So I want to say thank you for being you. And Leo and Lila, God be with you. And folks, I'll be speaking with you in the coming weeks.
Okay, right. Good night, George. Good night, Anthony. It was really nice talking to you. Good night. Yeah, good night. And good night, folks. Thanks. Oh. Okay. And I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight, and we hope that you have a great evening. Good night.